locked, unloaded, and away from ammo, we can give our loved ones a second chance at life. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It is Happy Hour Sports with Steve and Scott. We're both here.
Call it cold and rainy hour.
Yeah, good cold morning. And it's not happy hour out there. Right?
But you know what? A few degrees difference. It'd been a whole different scenario out there.
And a bit of snow. You are listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at 1700 The Champ, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. We have sporting events coming up this week still. 49ers Seahawks, huge game for out there in that division. talk about that
in the Western world.
Second. Saturday, Northern Iowa versus Townsend. Then you're going to get Ravens, Browns, and Dolphins, Bills. And on Sunday, you get Chiefs, Texans, Giants, Commanders. And on Monday, you get Rams, Packers. Big game for the Packers.
So there's Thursday NFL, Saturday NFL, Sunday NFL, and Monday NFL.
Yep.
Gee, it's like they're a massive entity or something.
Yeah, no kidding. I am out tomorrow, but back in on Thursday and Friday. We'll be back in here Thursday doing Happy Hour Sports again. I want to take this time to say thank you to Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, Palmer Group, BetMGM, and Come and Go for being a part of the program. We'll talk more about them as we go. How you been? I haven't seen you since Saturday. Well.
Here, last time we saw each other was quite some time ago. Was it Tuesday last week?
Yeah, it was a week.
And a lot of things have happened since then. Yeah. We saw each other on Saturday at the Bunker out there at Copper Creek. Nice place.
Yeah.
Good people.
Had fun. Okay, so I'm going to...
Didn't get a lot done on Saturday.
Didn't get anything done.
No. We did the rooftop foundation where we were with the kids from Willard Elementary.
Yes.
Is it Willard?
Taking him...
Yep, and we took him Christmas shopping. Santa Claus, a.k.a. Kenny Deaver, was there. It was an awesome day. The kids were awesome.
With some of the cash raised at a tournament that we went to.
We had a golf tournament. Also, a lot of Des Moines personnel in blue were there. It was really cool. That's always, it's like I said, it's just outreaching. They do a great job with it. We already have the date for the next golf outing next year. So
that's awesome. Okay, so yesterday I started the show. And I'm going to start it today and get your take on some of the things I talked about yesterday. So I started the show yesterday saying that when I walked in here, I had three totally distinct feelings from one spectrum to the other. I was beyond excited about a sport. I mean, a story. Mm-hmm. I was saddened by a story. Mm-hmm. And I was disgusted by a story.
And there's a
which one would you like to tackle first?
Well, let's do the sad one. Yeah. I think I know where you're going.
Yeah. The sad one is Mike Leach. I mean, that's it's horrific for his family to have, you know, I think he's always had a condition, and I think it's been under control, and in these times.
And it's in the way it was described when the news came out. I believe it was Sunday morning. It was not. Oh, had a little incident. We'll be right back.
Yeah,
no, it was. No. There was a lot of instant feelings of it. But he was. I mean, you've got stories. I've got stories. I mean, the interviews that he's done. The one that when he was with Washington State Cougs, and it was the interview where you got Matt Campbell trying not to burst into tears of laughter. Just listen to this guy. I mean, countless ones we heard today. The story of when he would walk out of Pullman about the talking about where the raccoons lived.
Right.
I mean, it just he was unique. He was eccentric. He was iconic. All these different things, and it cracks me up. And to the point where this is Des Moines, Iowa. He coached in the Big 12. He was known for what he did. There's a billboard that was put up in Des Moines, one of those electronic ones, that pretty much is a tribute to Mike Leach.
Yeah, it's and you know, going from the family I mean, a great family man. The family is very saddened. Yes. And going to his coaching and his coaching tree, Dave Aranda coaches at Baylor. Yep. Nick Brown is at West Virginia. Yep. Sonny Gumbel is at Louisiana Tech. Josh Heupel is at Tennessee. Dana Holmgren is at Houston. Cliff Kingsbury is coaching the Cardinals. Lincoln Riley, USC, Ken Wilson, Nevada. I mean, his coaching tree is strong,
yeah,
and has all that. He's going to be missed because he was an irritant to coaches' arrogance, which mm-hmm. there's a ton of those.
Right.
And I hope, you know, and I get it.
He would knock the omnipotent off the wall, if you know what I mean.
I get that Nick Saban's won a lot of games and you know, Jimbo Fisher and all that, but they don't walk on water. And Mike Leach, at every point in his life, would make sure that they understood that, yeah, you have bigger things to do than worry about wins and losses with all these kids you're bringing in. You got to try to make them be better kids. And I loved him for that.
Yep.
The overjoyed is two things. One is the thought process on Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan has a particular he has a particular set of skills that he likes to see in a quarterback. And the really funny thing after you watch this, I'm excited for Brock Purdy. I think it's awesome. The fact that he gets the Mr. Irrelevant thing, somebody was picking him up. If he didn't get drafted, San Francisco just went, why am I going to fight with everybody to try to get this kid when I want this kid? I'm just going to pick him. Who else mm-hmm. are we going to pick with the last pick in the draft?
Right.
And and that is what he's looking for. And sometimes Jimmy Garoppolo, and as good as Jimmy Garoppolo is, doesn't do. And the one thing that we've always known about Brock Purdy from Iowa State all the way through to now to watching these two games, he doesn't take a lot of time to make a decision.
No.
I mean, he's got a clock in his head, and it's not Patrick Mahomes. I got 7 seconds.
Right.
He says, I got 2, and I got to make a decision where I'm going to go or if I'm going to move.
And he makes his decision.
And he makes his decision really quickly.
That would be the reference where he has got his nickname in the locker room. I mean, they're calling him a very ballsy individual, let's just say that.
And so very excited for him, very excited for his family. That family has always been a part of that. Family's been a part of it in Ames. That family's a part of it now.
Right.
They were a part of the family when his younger brother was playing. To see his dad standing there after he passed for the touchdown, but when he ran the touchdown in and was crying, man, that was
well, and the thing with powerful. this is so storybook, you know, fairy tale, if you will. The big thing that you, once you start listening to, I mean, they let go of a guy that was guaranteed money to keep him.
Yeah.
So someone else didn't get him.
Yeah.
He's been working with, I wouldn't say a trainer, but they've rebuilt his release. They continued to make him better. So this wasn't just a fluke.
Because he wasn't set. His mind wasn't set.
Right. This wasn't just a fluke opportunity. They needed him to, number one, maybe be the future.
Right.
Or, you know, see if that's what it's going to be. Or he needs to be ready if somebody who has a little bit of a track record gets broken.
Right. And he gets broken every year.
Right.
And they knew, and that's where Shanahan comes in. He's looking for a particular set of skills. And that set of skills is, I don't question my decisions. And I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the quarterback. I never question what I did. I don't hold on to the football.
Right.
Your first instinct doesn't have to always be to run. You can throw the ball away.
Right.
And, you know, live to fight another day. You can win football games in the NFL by doing that. And he didn't go to the Carolina Panthers. He went to the San Francisco 49ers
mm-hmm.
with a coach that, I mean, he's made C.J. Beathard look really good. He's made Nick Mullins look really good.
But that's just we've talked about the description of that type of setup and that type of team. They created it for, all right, if we try to use Justin Fields, Trey Lance, excuse me. I'm like, that didn't come out right. We can do this. What can we build around it so that if we don't need him to be the spark, but just not extinguish the flame?
What I mean? They love Trey Lance.
Right. Too. It was, okay, we know Jimmy G doesn't have to be Mahomes. He just, again, he doesn't need to be the spark. Just don't put out the flame.
And the problem they have with Jimmy G is the money he makes, and he can never play a full season.
Right.
And the thing they have
That's going to be New York Jets' problem next year.
Yeah, it's going to be. Yeah, I agree with that. It's either the Jets or the Giants. I think it could be either one of those two New York teams. He fits right in New York. Don't feel sorry for Jimmy G either. They showed it on social media again the other night. You know how the San Francisco 49er players were all happy and hugging Brock Purdy, and then they show Jimmy G at the basketball game with all of his linemen and everybody, and all the cheerleader girls went, skip you, and they're all looking at Jimmy.
Jimmy G.
And Jimmy's just laughing.
Oh, yeah.
And I even heard...
That's Russell Wilson, too, dude, because he's looking at who he wakes up next to and bank account. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he wants to do better,
perfectly
but
fine.
He'd be going, okay.
The other thing that I heard a ton of people to say about Brock today is there would be a better chance if they traded away Trey Lance and Jimmy G was there and Brock was there for Brock to start. Because I truly believe, and a lot of people believe, that they want what Trey Lance, because that's the one thing that Brock Purdy can't do. He can't throw the ball 40 yards down the field to take some of the speed that they have at wide receiver.
Right.
And that's one of those things. That's an itch that Kyle Shanahan has that he can't get rid of. You know, it's kind of like the Andy Reid. I just can't stand back there and do absolutely no movement and run a play. His itch is I have to have movement to get my, you know, to get my thinking down.
Yep.
But what Brock Purdy is doing is amazing, and it shows that good teams that have good coaching can have a third string quarter. I mean, the New York Jets had their third string quarter. It was Joe Flacco. Somebody came and looked at Joe Flacco weird. He either threw the ball into the ground or went to the ground. And they have a high draft pick that's healthy that they can't even have in the facility because all the players hate him. And that's something the San Francisco 49ers, you can just tell. It's a better run organization right
now.
Trust
me. I mean, everything you and I have been reading all over social media and stuff like that, how they are truly responding to him that is not FCC friendly, they love him.
They
love him like a little brother. He's ornery. He's going to
– Yep, and he doesn't have an attitude. You know what he did that was better than anybody that I've seen do? He bought into Mr. Irrelevant.
Right.
Why wouldn't he? I remember, I've said this too. I remember the day it was a Dowling. We were having a weekend thing to raise money for Dowling. And we were at we had an Iowa State party at Young's house. And we had another party a block away. And we were going fat back and forth, teasing each other and doing all that. And quarterback went down and in comes Brock Purdy. And we all went, oh, the season's done. And then boom, he beats Oklahoma State, ranked Oklahoma State. And he just continued from there. Now, he had games, you know, but I don't know if all those were him. I think they asked him to do too much. When they weren't asking him to do too much, he was really good.
And that's what is working in San Francisco.
Exactly.
He doesn't have to be the shining jewel on the crown. He just has to be part of the crown.
And
it just kind of cracks me up about Purdy is he's, all right, he's the youngest son. The guys in the locker room and the older kids are like, hey, you go steal one of dad's beers. And he's like, okay, I'll go do it.
Yeah.
So he goes and steals, gets caught, and dad goes, you know what? You got cojones. I'll drink one with you. I mean, it's like, and everybody's like, what?
No.
But I mean, he's just that confidence and that, okay, been here. Let's do this.
I agree.
Well, I shouldn't say been there, but I mean, he acts like it's nothing for him. So
I don't want to spend a lot of time on this last one just because it irritates me to no end. But the disgusted part.
Yeah. I know where you're going.
Most things that you heard about Chris Beard, if it was at Texas Tech or if it was at where he's at now at Texas, it was mostly good. I to be really honest, I've never heard a negative thing. And when you first read it, your inkling is, well, it must have been a lot of people's inkling. It wasn't my inkling just because I've been around it before, but your first inclination is, Well, it must be a mistake. He wouldn't have done something.
It was. Where's the rest of the story?
Right. Yeah.
Somebody is passionately pushing to this side.
Right.
Where's the rest of the story? What happened?
Exactly.
And didn't get that.
And you know, one of the first things that came out of him is, hey, I have a recording of this, and it wasn't just me yelling and screaming. And everybody went, well, we'll see. And then social media kept coming and kept coming. And by the time I got in here, one of the first pictures I saw right before I went on, people, especially powerful people, well-liked people, especially in Texas with athletics, if it was something, then he's in. They kind of talked to him and snuck him back out. No, this guy was in a jumpsuit.
Suited up, handcuffed. And
already looked like he'd been slapped around a couple of times. Yeah. And I'm like, this isn't just something that's going to go away.
No.
And when you start hearing some of the things and you have there are actually people on TV and there's actually people on social media. I guess I get it in social media. You know, these arguments that sometimes this stuff happens. He hit her. He bit her. He threw her around. No, they don't happen. And no, they can't happen. And the last one last night about 9:30, someone said, well, what's that have to do with him coaching basketball? He's coaching 18 to 21-year-old kids that we're trusting him
yes.
to have a modem of decency in his brain. And if you can do that, what is he willing to do if your son loses a game for him and you're in the locker room? What's he doing to him? He has no right at all to have that, to be able to do that. That is physical violence against anybody, especially someone
right.
that you're stronger than or you're over, is out. You out.
I agree.
And it was too bad, and it made me sick. And I'm glad they played, and I'm glad the coaches and the players have been saying, it's not good, and
right.
we're okay with it. So that's bad. Happy Hour Sports with Gene and Scott. You're coming to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Scott, now be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101 and 1900, The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Coming to you live, bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Facebook at 1700 The Champ, the website 1700 The Champ, and the Twitter is at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. We thank you for coming in today. You, my friend, have the first read.
I will take the one at the top of the page. Northwest Bank, commitment you can bank on, taking care of your professional business, mortgage, agricultural, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Northwest Financial Group earned Top Workplace Award again for the 8th year in a row from the Des Moines Register. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Also take advantage of applying online for loans from Northwest Bank. Once again, don't wait and open up your account with Northwest Bank. Commitment you can count on. Member FDIC.
Perfect. I want to thank them for being a part of the program. First sporting event next up is Thursday night, 49ers at Seahawks. That is a big game, and I have to say how big a game it is. I was just getting ready to look. That is a...
Are you looking at spread or are you looking at what?
No, I was looking at standings, but I don't think I have it in there. So I'll click here and click there.
I got.
What do we have? So
Carolina, nope.
Seattle Seahawks are 7-6. And
San Francisco is 9-4.
Yeah, so that does make a difference there. You can't move up.
I'm not going to lie. Had to look at that twice, make sure I'd refreshed the screen on my lap or my iPad. The Seahawks are 7-6.
Yeah.
Who's their quarterback again?
Geno Smith, who.
Yeah, say that one more time. Geno Smith. All right.
And he hasn't played well the last couple of games. And that's kind of been affecting that a little bit. Okay, so one of the fun things.
No, not good football.
Somebody sent me this today, and it made me think of you. It made me think of my childhood first because my parents had the album. England Dan and John Ford
Copley.
Copley.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. It's Dan. It's England. Dan is Dan Seals from yep. "I Want to Rock with You, Baby." It's yeah.
Nights Are Forever. Right. I remember the album. They sent it to me. They go, "You remember this?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh!"
That is
yes.
a go-to for us. Oh. We because I've got an actual what is it? Pandora radio station, or whatever. That's England Dan and John Ford Copley. Yep.
Yeah, that is. I thought of you when they did that last night. Just a couple. Just some funny things. Luka Doncic, and this is a, I've got a little bit of a series of this, of just officiating has just been almost unwatchable in pro football. And in Luka Doncic got a T last night for yelling at his own player, at his teammate. He was yelling at his teammate, and they gave him a technical. There wasn't anybody else anywhere near the two of them, and they gave him a technical. And they all gathered. And they talked about it, and they go, yep, it's a technical. How can you get a technical for yelling at some? If they did, coaches should get technicals all the time. They're yelling at their players
right,
constantly.
Yeah.
I thought that one was funny. There was a and I apologize, and I had it, and I can't find it. A huge basketball game was decided. There was 3 seconds left. They were running a play to try to score. Guy gets the ball. He's running along the sideline, and his teammate was trying to get in front of him, so he ran out of bounds, ran over by the scorer's table, and came back in and caught the ball and made the shot.
You can't do that.
No, you can't be the first person. He wasn't forced out. They wouldn't even review it. A game-winning basket, and they wouldn't even review it. I mean, it's been bad. It's and the worst of all, and this was the worst one, and it happened last night. You had, and I'm not even sure which New England Patriot receiver. I think it was two New England receivers. One had just got blown up, and they're in their 2 minute drill, and they line back up, and I think it's Nelson Aguilar is yelling and screaming at the referees because this other wide receiver is out there, and he is just wobbling.
Right.
I mean, he can't even stand up, and. Nobody.
There's supposed to be a guy on the sideline that is designated
nobody buzzed
with,
from above. Nobody buzzed from below. Nobody checked. I mean, you're a referee, and there I get it. There are times that I see I'm like, oh gosh, he's not even going to. He's already back up and in the huddle. And then there's times like Kyler Murray last night blew his ACL with nobody around him.
Yes, I don't think they said it's actually torn. I think it's strained or
no,
whatever. But still,
did. No, he his is
the diagnosis is
torn. Out for a year.
And all I hear now is, oh, he's gonna improve his score on Call of Duty or whatever they do now on it. But
it was
you know what?
So they, I mean, he is. You could see him yelling at the umpire.
Right.
That's at yelling at him, and the umpire's like, I'm not blowing my whistle, and he's wobbling.
I know, but it's the whole, okay, what was the footage? Not Bengals, not Browns. Anyway, well, the guy went down.
This was before halftime. So, I mean, it wasn't at the end of the game.
Okay.
It wasn't. They
still,
weren't,
but it was, it, and, was and he like, had, well, I don't want to be the guy that changed the inertia of the game if, or this,
I mean,
and this.
He wandered back. Now. I just said that I was mad at the referees. I'm also mad at the Patriots. They could have seen that. Oh, look at him. He doesn't look. They weren't in a hurry to run the
Again,
play.
There's after the Tua incident in the Cincinnati Thursday night game. There's supposed to be a guy on
there's
the sideline that watches everyone on either
go,
sideline and
no.
says, "Give me your helmet."
Yes.
That was a liability thing. The NFL said, "You know what? We got a problem. We got this." Where was that guy?
It was bad, and I just have a really bad time with that. Did you watch the
was it Jets game?
No, Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth. And,
no, I did
and
not.
It was kind of cool. It'd be cool to go to a golf course lit up like that that you could play at night. It'd be fun to play a night golf game.
I'd still have to take a flashlight
well,
with
no,
me.
I would do.
Why is your ball where the lights are? Because they put the lights in the fairway. That's why.
They put a light there. But one of the things that they talked about in this is right now Rory has the fourth most weeks at number one going on right now. It's 113 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He would have to be number one until December of 2030 to tie Tiger Woods for being on top. It's so crazy.
That's just nasty. That's awesome.
I think the coolest thing about all that, and I mean, his relationship with Rory has been very, to me, very surprising, because I always, you know, when he played, I mean, yes, he had friends, but he still viewed things. I mean, I understand that he views things differently, but I think Rory said, you know, I'm fighting kind of an uphill battle in some of this because I'm not from here. And mm-hmm.
Right.
He wasn't, I think that throughout his life, everybody went, oh gosh, Rory McIlroy is cool because he's a golfer. And he come over here and he's like, yeah, I'm cool because I'm a golfer. And they're like, ooh, you need to change your clothes. You need to get a haircut. You need to have some good old USA dental work done. Right. And now Rory McIlroy he's a good looking young man.
Sure.
But his feelings for Tiger Woods is it's funny how all the older people when he came in disliked him for the way he did, and all the younger people love the fact that it allows them to be like him.
Right.
It's kind of cool. And it was so funny.
But you also got to look at Tiger's reverence for the old guys.
Mm.
You know,
doubting that.
But
yes,
now absolutely. You're seeing even the younger guys look at.
Yeah, but they're not looking at him because of his. I guess they do. They know how good a golfer he is.
Yes.
They're all trying to pick his brain
right.
to figure out how he made so much damn money. That's what they're
right.
looking
at. How can you be
how
can you be an industry?
Right. Arnold Palmer did it when he was young. Jack Nicklaus did it when times that they were the only two guys. Tiger's right. There's been a bunch of people and no one's touched right. what he's touched.
Well, it's a very select group. Tiger is an industry. Michael Jordan is an industry. It's that type of thing. You can be really good, but if you can do the whole package of
both.
Yeah.
And the thing that does, and John Daly has found this out, and some others, you can even get caught doing some things you're not supposed to be doing and still be held in a high regard.
I love John Daly.
I love John Daly, too. John Daly is made such a big comeback between him and his son and looking like Santa.
The
and
Hooters.
Drinking a Pabst.
Right, the what is it, the Hooter sponsorship, whatever they've got? Because
Lucky Strike.
And I don't know how I got onto it, but it is just it's fabulous. I get a feed about every other day or something. It says, John, how do you get rid of a hangover? He said, you drink the stuff you drank last night.
You don't stop drinking.
Exactly.
I like that. I thought that was funny too. The other thing I thought was funny. So during this whole thing, we were, I don't even remember where we were. I don't remember where we were.
What?
When we were watching some of the golf.
Yes.
And JT's getting ready to hit his shot, and Tiger keeps just kind of inching up on the golf cart. Not close to JT, but he keeps inching up. And JT yells and goes, will you stop it? And Tiger just kind of laughs and then moves up a little bit more, and he goes, will you stop? And Jordan comes and goes, what's going on? He's trying to get, so he's putting his shadow over my golf ball. You know, people just thought he was kind of making fun of him and making some noise.
Right, no, just trying to distract him.
Physically trying to get up to put a shadow over his golf. That's how technical he is. I thought that was, I mean, it was just fun. It was like 12 holes. It not a big deal, but a lot of people. And then, I thought you just said it.
It was 12 holes. Tiger Woods was back on TV. Yep. We're talking about him in Des Moines, Iowa on a Tuesday.
Golden money. Yeah. What else?
I got to go back to the.
Hit me. You go.
We kind of glanced past it here. The Kyler Murray out for the year. You know, the jokes about, well, he's not, you know, his rehab's going to be in front of an Xbox, blah, blah, blah. But let's talk about Colt McCoy. Is this the cliff? Or does, you know, he wants to play?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that the system is going to be good for Colt McCoy that they have set up for Kyler Murray, but this kid's been around since a kid. 2010 is when he was drafted by the Browns. Remember, he was going to be the one to start. That's when we started to figure out who was going to change the Browns. Colt McCoy was, and then we've been through, oh, my Lord.
He couldn't change the Texas Longhorns.
I know. But,
I love Colt McCoy, though.
I do, too. I mean, I really didn't realize it was 2010 when he came into the league, though.
Yesterday, another big thing, it was over the weekend. I think it might have been on Sunday, was Larry Bird's birthday. And the boys and I have this discussion all the time that, oh, Larry Bird couldn't play basketball nowadays. And I'm like, you'd be surprised how many people Larry Bird embarrassed because they didn't give him his due diligence of how good an athlete he was.
Right.
Like coming out in a three.
I could beat you without taking my warm-ups off.
I mean, that was the best one ever. He goes, I don't even have to take it off because I'm not even going to break a sweat.
Right.
So I'm just going to leave it on. I mean, he was.
He didn't have He didn't have the 3-point line.
Nope. And he was mad at something an announcer said. And so they were at the Pistons when the Pistons, it was before the Pistons got good. And the announcer had said something about him before that he's not that talented. He scored 38 against the Pistons, and he played left-handed. Not because he had to play left-handed, because he just did. I mean, he is the most competitive. He would have been just fine. Most of those guys, the big-time players in that era could play in any era. And sometimes I think we forget that. There's some people that play now that couldn't play in that era because they're not big. Steph Curry couldn't have played as well in that era because when he was doing all those jump shots or going in and driving, he wasn't just getting bumped and getting calls. He'd have been thrown into the third row and had people in the stands beating him up before they call a foul. So,
plus it's fun to say where he's from. So
it is
French Lick,
Indiana.
You got it.
Brittany Griner. We didn't really get to talk about that.
We didn't.
I mean, just to jump around.
I know you're looking at your notes. I'm looking at mine.
So. I can't. I had people ask me about it, and I said, you know, I don't even know how to discuss it because I don't want to know. I don't want to know what she had to go through.
No.
I don't want to know what they did to her. I don't want her to remember what they did to her. It is bad. Mm-hmm. And it is the climate that we're in. And the fact that it took so long is because of the climate that we're in, and I felt bad for her. The thing I guess I wanted to bring it up is, I mean, I don't get political and I don't usually rip on people's takes, but to make fun of her or to do things like that, that's pretty bad. Now, there's some other things in that drives you crazy too, and that's why you don't work in government and I don't work in government because we couldn't do it. But sometimes you have to do stuff that you leave somebody there who's been there a long time. He's been there 10 years, a Marine. And you don't usually do that. And then it made that public. I didn't know that before they said something. Maybe I did.
Right. I mean, it leads that into more of a upfront, fresh public eye of knowing that. But I mean, it's that became the why this one and not that one. And was it an equal
feeding America?
I mean, to look at it, was it an equal trade?
Join the conversation now on Twitter.
It's a female. And it had nothing to do with
sports talk for real sports fans.
So yeah, I just wanted to make you uncomfortable. Welcome back in, everybody, once again. Happy Tuesday. Happy Hour Sports with Steve and Scott. You're listening to us live.
Bringing your sports your way every day.
Sports
talk
for
real
sports fans. 101.3 FM, 1700. For real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at 1700 the champ, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. Facebook is also out there at 1700 the champ. I will take Heritage Building Maintenance provides quality, high health centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout central Iowa and the Midwest. Provides the best solutions for building maintenance and commercial janitorial services. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense in proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, providing a peace of mind and protecting our future by being certified partner of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebuilding.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. Heritage Building Maintenance.
Nice.
Jack Campbell, Xavier Hutchison, first team All-Americans.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since we've had one from each.
That is true. That is true. It's
excuse me. Wow.
You all right?
That came out of nowhere.
I know that those type of things that you know you hate to call football an individual sport, but it's good to see accolades of people that you get to give them kudos for that. It just becomes tough because it was a disappointing year.
It was,
you know?
And I guess that. I think everybody gets that, and it's not easy. Was the New England Patriots game that was on live TV?
Yeah,
that's what I thought. I thought it was. This is crazy. So they have Joe Judge and Matt Patricia are their offensive co-coordinators. One's a special teams coach, and the other's a defensive coach, but they're their offensive coordinator. So this stat killed me, Scott.
I'm listening.
44% of Mac Jones' passes were at the line of scrimmage or behind for the entire game. So almost half of his passes were thrown
right
behind.
Not well is not, what you're saying. No,
but I mean, just they didn't run routes.
Right.
60% of their third down passes were behind the line of scrimmage.
And they still won the game.
Yep. It is incredible.
When Kyler Murray got injured, there was a lot of disarray on the on the Arizona. Like I said, when I came earlier to go, holy crap, we're saying the name Colt McCoy. I did not expect to say that.
They've lost their last 13 games at home. If I'm a National Football League head coach and I've lost 13 games in a row at home, when you have every other team in the league has not, I don't know why you still have a job. It's pretty incredible.
Well, up until last night, he had Kyler Murray, and there was always hope.
There was.
I mean, and seriously, that's a big deal about that.
And
what are you going to do now with this crater of ashes of a season?
It's when you think about, and I know why. That sometimes they don't care, right? Now coaches care,
right?
And players care because they can be cut, they can be fired. Coaches can be fired. Owners, all they care about is getting people in the stands. There's no people in the stands.
I hate to say that, but because it's the money is not the butts in the seats.
No,
the but money it's is the TV extra contract.
Money. It's the extra money.
I know. You want to have a good showing. You want to have a good following. You want.
But you got to get that TV contract. And man, they're. Right. I mean, the fact that they were even on a. I mean, you talk about even if Kyler Murray was healthy, that was going to be one of the most boring games that you've ever watched on TV.
Okay, dude. I mean,
it was bad, and they didn't flex that game. You'd think they'd be flexing somebody into these.
They flexed Miami and
the Chargers.
And the Chargers Sunday night.
And which they should have.
It wasn't the outcome that everyone wanted, I'll say that. But
I know.
But
my Chick-fil-A Diet Coke and you.
There you go. Because, I mean, okay, we've still got the AFC East. This still amazes me. Because, I mean, the Jets are, we were just talking about that. What was it? Mike White?
Yes.
That just got
folded
multiple times in that game last weekend.
I wanted to text his mother and say, I am sorry that I watched that.
Right.
I feel for you.
And man. Then, but like you said it too, when Flacco got in there, it was like, and I'm throwing it into the ground. That guy was almost 7 yards away from me, and he was mad. I'm going to throw it into the ground.
I'm not going to get hit, and I can't help it. Because we have a freakazoid for a second year player who can't understand things. I'm not getting killed for this.
Well, and still though, to look at the AFC East, you got Buffalo 10-3, you got Miami 8-5, which they're on a 2-game losing streak. But it just
they didn't get any help with their who do they have this week?
They have Buffalo.
Yeah, that's
see, and that's because we've got 3 games on Saturday with the NFL because they're like, ooh, okay, we've got open times.
That is not a home game. That is not in the confines of 78 degrees.
You've got the 10-3 Buffalo Bills, the 8-5 Miami Dolphins at a cold and rainy forecasted day in Buffalo. That's not two a time.
I felt bad too because all you got from that game, because since the day the two of them were drafted, Tua was drafted one spot ahead of Justin Herbert.
Yes.
And it's been talked about all the time. And Tua's had a really good year besides the fingers going the wrong way.
Head trauma? Yeah. Is that what you're going for, Steve?
But he's come back, and that's one of those things. So I thought about you when I was thinking about this, is this is how I compare Tua and Justin Herbert. Tua has, when he had a not very good head football coach who didn't understand him, was put in a difficult situation. And you bring in Mike McDaniel, and he took him out of his difficult situation.
Right.
And he added one more. I'm going to get you Tyreek Hill, who we only have to give him 2 yards and let him go. And then we can play with everything else. And at, would you say they are 8-4?
8-3.
8-3. At 8-3, I think he's done.
Excuse me, 8-5.
8-5.
I missed a few weeks there.
I think that he has done a wonderful job of doing that. And I think Tua has done a good job from where he was.
Right.
To now, and the
injury.
I
also look at it as they had a 5-game winning streak. They played 5 really bad defenses.
Oh, yeah.
And then they played San Francisco. San Francisco, I mean, to watch, you know, he had the highest percentage of completions. I mean, you've got those two weapons in Waddle and Hill. And
he didn't even have time.
Overthrown him. I mean, yeah. Good Lord, he was overthrown here and not making. And
he
just didn't
want to hold on to that ball that one extra second to not throw it 5 yards.
It just doesn't.
That.
And even in the Chargers game, it doesn't feel like when the ball is released that it's supposed to be where the receiver's supposed to be.
Right.
That to me, that's a sign of, well, we haven't been working together. These guys have been working together.
Right.
So
taking it one step further then. So Justin Herbert has been maligned by a lot of people the entire year.
Right.
Can't win big games. Look at some of his throws. Look at what he's doing. That game, was that a Sunday night game or was that
Sunday
night game?
They flexed it to the Sunday night.
That game was the first time that he's had all three of his wide receivers,
right,
that he's had his tight end.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with Justin Herbert, it's like they're looking in a mirror. So he's the 180 of Tua. He's a big quarterback, a strong quarterback, mm-hmm, a really good quarterback. Not that Tua isn't any of those. Tua's a good quarterback. He needs that guy to help him scheme to Tua.
Right.
Justin Herbert, who I think can do it on his own, but he can't, he's got a guy that should be on my cup of Chick-fil-A,
who
has no idea in the world how to use him, and he finally told his offensive coordinator, the way this game has to go, you have to win this game. I'll try to cover your butt.
Right.
You know, I'll try to cover.
Right.
I'll try to not let them score. We'll try some different things on defense. You got to let him go.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I was thinking, because they took Tua one in front. Now, you probably can't go all the way to the full circle because I don't know if Mike McDaniel takes that Miami job. Maybe he took the Miami job because of Tua. I don't know. But if Miami would have taken Justin Herbert and he'd have had that first bad year and got Mike McDaniel, I would just like to see what Mike McDaniel or Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay could do with someone like Justin Herbert is Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts and Tua all rolled up into one.
Right.
And they said, oh.
Oh, I know. I know.
Because he can run, he can throw. And the thing they said, this is what his college thing said, he's too smart to be an NFL quarterback because he was like a 4.2 student in chemistry at Oregon. And people are like, no, he didn't go to – yeah, no, he was always in class.
I know. It's weird with all these injuries that we're seeing football we didn't expect.
That's the NFL problem. Maybe we'll talk about that when we come back in here. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We'll go through some NFL. We'll look at some playoff stuff. We'll look at standings. We'll be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700, The Champ.